a number of troops leaving the southern border, and an update on a lawsuit brought against a military contractor. All of that and more today, August 3rd, 2023. Good morning, Early Birds. I'm Jonathan Lehrfeld, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. First up, the Pentagon is pulling some active duty troops from the U.S.-Mexico border. The troops were deployed earlier this year as the government prepared for the end of pandemic-era asylum restrictions. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin approved the deployment of 1,500 active duty troops for a temporary 90-day military surge at the border in May. Illegal border crossings were escalating at the time. There were concerns they'd go even higher after the restrictions ended, but numbers have instead fallen. 1,100 troops will conclude their 90-day mission next Tuesday. The remaining 400 will be extended through the end of August. Officials stressed at the time that the active duty troops would not be taking frontline positions on the border or interacting with migrants. They conducted tasks like data entry or warehouse support to free up Customs and Border Protection personnel. The troops were intended to help back up border officials dealing with the end of Title 42. That rule allowed the government to quickly expel tens of thousands of migrants from the country in the name of protecting America from COVID-19. After Title 42 expired, the numbers dropped sharply to about 5,000 encounters a day. But it's far from clear how permanent these numbers are. The amount of people crossing the Darien Gap, a key route for migrants headed to the U.S. from South America, this year is already higher than all of 2022 combined. Last week, the Justice Department announced it had sued Texas Governor Greg Abbott to force the state to remove floating buoys in the Rio Grande. The federal government says they present humanitarian and environmental concerns. Speaking to reporters in July, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby was asked if the floating barriers hurt relations with Mexico.
Well, it's certainly not helping, but I can't tell you that there's been a direct impact on our diplomatic relations with Mexico.
The departures do not impact an additional 2,300 National Guard troops under federal orders who remain at the border in similar supporting roles. Those troops will not be extended, but other units will be rotated in to replace them when their deployments end. Austin has tried to get the Department of Homeland Security to fully assume the border protection role instead of relying on military troops. Homeland Security had to agree to work with the White House and Congress to develop a plan for longer-term staffing solutions in order to get the National Guard troops. Another important story: a federal judge refused to dismiss a lawsuit against a military contractor by former Abu Ghraib inmates. They accused the contractor of being complicit in torture at the infamous Iraqi prison. The horrific mistreatment of prisoners there 2 decades ago sparked international outrage when photos became public of smiling U.S. soldiers posing in front of abused prisoners. Virginia-based CACI that supplied interrogators at the prison has denied that it engaged in torture. It has tried more than a dozen times to have the lawsuit dismissed since the case was filed in 2008. The lawsuit still has not gone to trial. The most recent effort to dismiss the suit focused on a 2021 Supreme Court case that restricted companies' international liability. In that case, the High Court tossed out a lawsuit against a subsidiary of chocolate maker Nestle. That came after it was accused of complicity in child slavery on African cocoa farms. CACI argued that the Nestle case is one of several in recent years in which the Supreme Court has narrowed the scope of the Alien Tort Statute. That's an 18th century law under which the plaintiffs filed their lawsuit. Here's why it matters. The opinion Monday by a U.S. judge in Alexandria, Virginia, is currently under seal. Only her order rejecting CACI's motion is public. But at an earlier hearing, the judge told CACI's lawyers that she believed they were overstating the significance of the Nestle case. A lawyer for the Center for Constitutional Rights, the law firm representing the Abu Ghraib plaintiffs, declined to discuss the opinion in detail because it was under seal. However, he said the judge reiterated the view that the law didn't change as radically as CACI suggests. A CACI spokeswoman declined to comment on Monday. CACI has denied that any of its employees engaged in or sanctioned torture, and the three inmates who filed the suit acknowledged that they were never directly assaulted or tortured by any CACI employees. But the lawsuit alleges that CACI was complicit and aided and abetted the torture by setting up the conditions under which soldiers brutalized inmates. A status hearing is now set for September. The lawyer representing the plaintiffs said he is confident the case will go to trial even after 15 years of delay. In other news, the guided missile destroyer Zumwalt made a quick turnaround to its home port in San Diego last week, just a day after getting underway. For more on this, Navy Times reporter Diana Stancy joins the pod. Hi, Diana. So can you tell us a little bit about what happened with the destroyer last week? Do we know what caused it to turn around?
Yes, so we don't know too many details just yet, but what we do know is that the destroyer Zumwalt headed out to sea from its home port in San Diego just last week, but then just a day after getting underway, it headed back to San Diego due to an undisclosed maintenance issue. So according to a spokesperson for the Naval Surface Force, the ship departed San Diego for Pascagoula, Mississippi, and it was headed that way to receive the Navy's conventional prompt strike hypersonic missile system, but then headed back due to this undisclosed maintenance issue that the Navy is not really providing too many details on due to operational security issues. However, the ship is expected to get underway again shortly, according to those same officials.
And what can you tell us about some of the ship's other missions and also about some of the weapons it could be fielding in the future?
So right now, the Navy is shooting to field hypersonic weapons on the Zumwalt by 2025. So we know right now that Lockheed Martin announced earlier this year that it would have a ship-based hypersonic missile launcher ready for flight tests in 2024. Lockheed is developing the launcher, the weapons control system, and some other pieces of the missiles, while Ingalls Shipbuilding is updating the actual ship to accommodate the weapons system. As far as recent operations go, the ship wrapped up 3 months in the Western Pacific last fall, where it was conducting multiple joint and bilateral operations as part of its first operational employment. However, the ship's first actual deployment will likely occur during late calendar year 2026 or early 2027, and it will also be operating in the U.S. 7th Fleet.
For more conversations like that one, please like and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Also on the radar for today, younger women veterans who served near burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan are being encouraged to schedule free breast cancer screenings with Veterans Affairs physicians. This is to help identify serious health issues as soon as possible. VA officials announced plans to make breast cancer assessments and some mammograms free for veterans 40 and younger who served in burn pit areas. These services are already free for women older than 40. The move was mandated under the Dr. Kate Hendricks Thomas Service Act in 2022. Thomas was a Marine Corps veteran who served in Iraq and contracted breast cancer from her exposure to toxic burn pit smoke there. She died at age 42, 2 months before the bill was passed. Breast cancer is already a presumptive condition under the Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics Act, signed into law 1 year ago. Individuals who served in areas using military burn pits who later contract the cancer can apply for expedited disability benefits without having to first prove a connection to their military service. An important note, the deadline to apply for retroactive PACT Act benefits is August 9th. Individuals who file a disability claim before then may be eligible for payouts dating back to August 10th, 2022. Those who file after that date will only be eligible for payouts starting from the day they file. The breast cancer screenings include a series of questions about a patient's military toxic exposure history, their family medical history, and other potential health risk factors. In cases where concerns are raised, a mammogram may be recommended for additional medical care. Eligible veterans interested in breast cancer screenings can request one through their VA care provider or reach out to local VA medical centers for availability. And now, here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. In case you missed it, Poland's government said that two Belarusian helicopters entered Poland's airspace this week. The incident comes amid rising tensions along the NATO members' border with the Russian ally. The head of an Oregon-based Navy Reserve unit was fired last week for reasons that officials have not yet disclosed. A Wisconsin man, who pretended to be a Marine while in prison for armed robbery in an apparent scheme to scam money from a woman, has been sentenced to 3 years in prison and 3 years on probation. Lastly, Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard launched a surprise military drill yesterday on disputed islands in the Persian Gulf as the U.S. military increases its presence in the region over recent ship seizures by Tehran. And on this day in history, in 1958, the U.S. nuclear-powered submarine Nautilus passed beneath the thick ice cap of the North Pole in an unprecedented feat. That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at @defense_news and @MilitaryTimes. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Zimone Z. Perez. Today's episode features stories by The Associated Press, Leo Shane III, and Diana Stancy. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Gruss. Have a great day.